After a two-week hiatus, I'm back. Hi, guys. Welcome back to Your Shuli Hannah E. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about Will Smith and immigration, and I have an amazing guest today.
Hello. My name is Luis.
Yes, I have Louise on today, which I'm really, really excited about. So we're going to first do highlights of the week because we just finished finals week. And then we'll talk about Will Smith for a little bit. And then we're going to get into our exciting trip in regards to immigration. So how was your finals week, Louise?
It was incredible. They went great.
Tell the people how many you had.
Okay, so I had 5 finals and I'm taking 5 classes, so...
Were they, like, all exams or were they, all like, papers as well?
No, they were all exams.
Oh, wow.
I had 3 online ones and then 2, like, in-class ones.
Okay.
And it's actually hilarious. Actually, it's not that funny. But, so, for my last final, I thought it was on Friday. And, yeah, okay, we'll get there.
My eyes just, like, bugged out for the people who are listening because this is an audio-based platform.
Yeah, exactly. So, basically... Okay, so the class is Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And for some reason, I was like, okay, so it's on a Friday, the final. That was not the case. I'm scrolling through Twitter, and I, like, followed one of, like, the deans or something. And she was like, oh my gosh, so excited that today's finally the last day. It's Thursday, by the way. And so she's, like, so excited that it's the last day of finals for everybody. So I, like... had a mini heart attack and immediately went to the syllabus, and it was in like 15 minutes. And I'm like at work at the office, and I told my supervisor, I was like, hey, I have a final in 15 minutes. And yeah, I made it. And
we today, today is Thursday, mind you, when we're recording this.
This literally happened like 8 hours ago. So yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that the one that you got the 85 in?
Okay, no.
Okay. I was like, wow, that was a quick turnover.
Exactly. We're hoping for an 85 plus, so let's freaking do it.
Okay. What classes did you have? Like you said you had 5 classes, so like what classes were you taking?
So I'm taking 4 political science classes and then 1 management class for my minor.
Okay.
So this class happened to be one of the political science classes. Political science 249. Let's go, baby. Woo! But yeah, and I'm hoping it went well, but yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm proud of you. Damn. That was
I know. Yeah, I cried.
Wow. I would have been like speeding down Cumberland and like, am I going to make it?
Yeah,
am
exactly.
I going to make it? Wow.
And see, I work like literally like not even a mile from Cumberland. So like,
oh, so it wasn't even like
exactly.
Major.
I mean, I shed a tear or 5, but other
I would have cried. I would have literally, I think I would have like honestly probably like, like shit my pants.
Oh yeah, I did.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
But no, yeah.
So you feel
that
good
was
about,
exciting.
You feel good about your finals?
I do. I'm feeling
yeah,
good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the same way. Well, I didn't have 5 exams. I had 1 exam and then I had like, I think I had like 5 or 6 papers. Like, I still have 1 paper I have to finish. So, once I finish that, like, we are done.
We are done, baby.
We are done. And the 1 exam I had today, I got an 87. So, I was pretty proud of myself.
Woo!
Yes.
Yeah, let's take a minute to
I got an 86 in that class.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh. Hey.
So, I'm...
How long are, like, the essays?
Oh, God. So, like, okay. So, this is, like, pro tip of college not to do. So, I am in a business ethics class. So, this class is online, and we had to always, like, I think we had 13 weeks. So, each week, we also had to write, like, a 500-word exam. So, there was, like, 3 or 4 that I hadn't turned in. But he was like, you can turn them in later. Like, you'll get partial credit.
Oh, shoot.
So... yeah, so I had to, like, rewrite. I had to write 2 last week, and then I had a 2,000-word paper for that class. And then we had to watch, like, we had to watch a movie for the class. So I recently just, like, invested in Disney Plus last Wednesday.
Oh, yes.
Which was honestly, no, it was also, it was, like, kind of a curse. But the movie I chose to watch, because we had to pick a movie and then talk about the ethical, like, issues within the movie. So I picked Zootopia.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
There were ethical issues in that movie. It was talking about like discrimination and like prejudice and stereotypes. in a yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And this 2016 film. Yeah. So I watched it. I watched that movie, I swear, 6 times because I was like trying to like find like which scenes were like explaining. Yeah, we're explaining the ethical issues. But yeah, so like the bunny was always like having to work twice as hard to like get things that like, because she always knew she wanted to be a cop, but people were like, nah, like, you're a bunny, like, you can't be a cop. And then when she became a cop, like, she was, like, a token, like, bunny. Like, she wasn't actually, like, be a cop or whatever until, like, she was able to, like, prove herself. And then when the whole, like, divide between, like, predators and prey happened, that was, like, insinuating how, like, that was kind of, like, prejudice because she was kind of, like, insinuating that like the predators were going back to their like savagery ways type of things. Yeah, bro, I like
that is so interesting.
I was so fascinated. I was gonna do Monsters Inc. because Monsters Inc. is talking about exploiting children. And, like, no, but that's the like ethical issue. It's like it's exploiting children because this guy is saying that like the monsters have to like scare the kids to like get their screams to power up like the plant or whatever.
To me, like their quota or something.
Yeah. But like that was the scheme because they didn't actually have to do that. And then there's the whole like scream meter and like it was Disney is a brilliant like I love Pixar. Like it was crazy.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So I watched that, had that paper. I finished that on Sunday. I like trapped myself in my room until I finished it. Like, I didn't touch my phone.
Oh, we love that.
Oh, and I just, like, sat in my bed and just, like, wrote, like, the remaining 2,000 words because it took me 3 days to write because it was just so much, like, I was reiterating almost, like, the same thing because I was talking about, like, not, like, the same thing, but, like, I don't know. How much time can you, like, I don't know. Talking about animals and, like, it was a lot to, like, process in one sitting, but I finished it Thursday. Sunday. And then I had a 7 to 10 page paper due on Tuesday.
Stop.
And I didn't start it until Tuesday. But then I emailed
the professor. Tuesday started Tuesday. There we go.
But I emailed the professor and like told him that I was like something came up and he was like, you have till Friday. Yeah. And I was like, thank you. So
no way.
Yeah. So now I'm almost done. I just have like 2 more pages and then I'll be a free bird. And
okay, so the only thing I can think about when you talk about like all these essays is that meme of the cat like typing with its little paws. Literally. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that honestly is how I felt because I really was just like, I think I had to stop. Every time I would stop, I wouldn't be able to write again because it was just like so much brain power. Yeah. But it was a very smooth finals because then I was writing the paper and then I was studying for the exam I had today. And I remember I like took a break and I made like a TikTok video because I was like, I'm almost done with finals. Yeah,
TikTok. You have to celebrate.
Yeah, it was fun. I'll put the link of the TikTok in the description if you want to follow me.
Let's go. Hannah E, baby. Hannah
yes,
E.
Yes.
So. Yours truly.
It actually is. Like my handle on TikTok is It's Me, Hannah E. Oh like gosh, on all platforms. Yeah, but it was a pretty smooth week. I was pretty proud my success on finals. And I'm I'm excited to see what my semester GPA is this semester.
Oh, shoot. Yes. Oh, that's so
exciting. Feels so good.
You definitely killed it.
I know. Do you feel like you killed it?
Yes, but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm pretty confident about that. Yeah,
tell the people about political science, because what's it like?
Yeah, okay, so I freaking love it. So I'm extremely passionate about politics and just the idea of being able to, like, basically just advocate for people, you know what I mean? And alongside people. And I feel like political science can definitely lead to a career in that.
Okay.
Also, I have a minor in, I'm doing a minor in business. So I think it all like specifically, so my political science major is concentration in public admin, which is like the more like business and political science, like mixture, I guess you could say. And, I transferred to UT and I was doing business administration. And then I was like, okay, how can I graduate with a major in political science?
Okay.
And so I go And they were like, okay, yeah, perfect. Like, you can get a major in political science, and with what you've already taken, it will, like, you're, like, already almost done with your minor in business. And I was like, let's freaking go. Let's run it. And we're here. Yeah.
Okay. So and you like it?
I'm passionate about it. Yes, definitely.
Okay. What do you want to do with it?
So I think the goal is law school, for sure.
Do you want to say here? Because you go to UT in Knoxville, Tennessee, not Texas.
But the real UT, might I add.
Okay.
It was very debatable. But yeah, the goal is definitely law school.
Okay.
I want to be an immigration attorney.
Ooh.
Yeah, that is like definitely the goal. But then again, I also want like the option, like the opportunity of like, a career in like the government and like the government sector and all that stuff. So I'm super excited about that. We'll see how that goes.
Okay.
But yeah, the goal is definitely immigration attorney. And,
wow. Yeah. So you're big about advocacy and like,
yes,
for like,
yes,
your community. Yes. Yeah. Tell the people for like, sure, more about, I guess, like, your background. Because obviously, like, I'm sitting next to you, so like, I know what you like look like, but obviously, the people probably can't tell like how you like what you look like based on your voice.
I have curly hair. Okay. I don't know. But, yeah. So I was born in Mexico. Guadalajara, Mexico is the home, the motherland. I moved to the United States when I was 5 years old with my mommy. And we came here, we were seeking business opportunities. And you know, like every time I share my story, I always make an emphasis on the fact that I was extremely privileged and still am, right? The way that my family was able to come here with, and I don't want to say that it was like a fluid transition into a new country or anything. Like obviously we were faced with challenges and whatnot, but I like to emphasize that we came from great privilege, and that's something that we'll always be extremely grateful and we'll like always honor. But so we came here. I was 5 years old. I was four. It was like in August, mm-hmm, right? And I turned five in December. So I like came here, grew up here, went to public schools.
Where's here?
Farragut.
Okay.
Farragut, Tennessee. Like 15 minutes from Knoxville, Tennessee. So UT, the real UT, was always like the dream, like, you know, right down the road, like the big university, like, mm-hmm, that was always like the goal. So we grew up here, we went into the restaurant businesses, and that went pretty well. Yeah, so we are still going through the immigration process, the journey that is the immigration process.
And you've been, when did you guys start? Like, when you were five, or?
Yeah, so we came here as tourists with visitor visas. And there's, like, a big controversy with the wall and, like, that everybody enters illegally. Which that's a whole nother thing by itself.
Yeah, it's like the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. So it's we overstayed our visas, and we immediately started the immigration process right then and there. And 17 years later, and I am 2 years away from being a U.S. citizen.
Yay!
So we're super excited about that.
So you'll graduate from university and then you'll have like...
Yeah, exactly. Aww. Exactly. Yes, yes, yes. I'm super pumped. But yeah, it's been a long journey. Wow. A lot of a lot of overcoming adversity and challenges. And
it took you 20 years. You'll be 25 probably because you're turning 24 and like next week. Yeah, so you'll be like 25, 26 almost.
Exactly.
Wow, 20 years.
Yeah.
I want people to listen. It's not an easy process, but wow. Like my my parents, like, they did like I think a similar thing. My dad came here for education. And then I think he like went back. He like met my mom, and then she came, I think, for education. And I think they like either did a similar thing, or they like found a job or something. Because I think when you come on an education visa, you can like somewhat become like a citizen by like finding like a company that might like sponsor you or
something.
My dad actually never became a citizen. He actually like utilized his green card for.
Oh.
The whole time he was like here, and then my mom actually is a citizen, so I think she went through the process, yeah.
Oh,
and like
so
yeah,
cool.
And honestly, I think like the fact that she's able to like, I think her being a citizen has allowed like all the things for her kids to be able to do, because I feel like, I'm sure it's like it's probably like a struggle, like not even a struggle, but it's like so many trials and like tribulations.
Of course, yeah, and like that really like. It's never something like I don't believe that anyone should ever go through something like that to be able to build their character, like to become a great person, you know what I mean? But like I feel like going through said challenges and like like you said, trials and tribulations, you know, like it, like you end up growing up so fast and like it really like makes you like appreciate the little things and like not take things for granted and just like cherish every moment, you know? And,
yeah.
But yeah, so.
Yeah.
I totally get that. That's all.
So when it comes to, I guess, like advocacy work, like what mm-hmm. do you do? Like.
Yeah, of course. So basically, okay. So I was privileged enough to be like the first wave of DACA recipients.
Okay.
Right. When President Obama...
What's DACA for people who might know?
Right. So when President Obama was in office, he created a program called DACA, which means Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Essentially what that means is it's deferred action from deportation. So it allows individuals to have a legal status. Unfortunately, it does not create a pathway to citizenship, right? So you have DACA and you only have DACA and yeah, that's it. Which is, we were eternally grateful for. But yeah, so basically it allows you to have a driver's license and legally work, right? And the requirements for it are very like rigorous and basically it's for people that are in school or out of school, and basically it's to give the youth and like these individuals that came here an opportunity to essentially reach their goals, you know,
achieve the American dream.
Let's go.
It's not
real. I'm glad you said it. But yeah, so it's that's basically what it is, and there were, I believe, around 700,000 individuals who are benefiting from this program.
Wow.
Until the Trump administration rescinded that, or is still trying to get rid of that program. And
45.
But yeah, so basically I was privileged enough to be a DACA recipient, and then I was faced with a lot of I think the greatest challenge that I to this date have been faced with, which was the the access to higher education, right?
Yeah.
So after I graduated high school, I attended 2 out of 3 mandatory meetings for what was known at the time as Tennessee Promise. And what that is, it's 2 free years of community college, right? So I go to the third meeting, and the person in charge was like, oh, you're not on the list. I was like,
wait, what?
What do you mean? Yeah, I'm like, hold up. Oh, yeah. So basically that's where I found out exactly, like, you know, like, I came aware of, like, my status. I came aware of, like, the challenges that were going to arise and that thousands of individuals are faced with, right? And so basically what that meant is that I would have to pay out-of-state tuition, and I would not be eligible for any federal financial aid. So that was...
You would have had to pay. Mind you, UT is $50K out of state.
Mm-hmm.
So you are going to have to come up with $50K.
Exactly.
Out of state.
Exactly.
I don't even pay out of state, and because I'm in state and I'm an out of state student. Like, I wouldn't be, like, I would not be at UT if I was paying $50K. I would have gone to, like, a UC school. Like,
oh, yeah. And that's what you see happening all the time is, like, these kids, these 18, 17 year olds are getting super excited, ready to go to, like, the schools that they've been accepted to, you know, and then they get hit with, like, this information and they're like, oh, well,
cool.
Yeah, exactly. Psych. But yeah, you see that happening all the time, and like, mind you, like, we're still incredibly, like, thankful that we even have the opportunity to attend university and secret education, right? But, you know, it's tough, like, when you're, like, growing up and you're not really aware of these types of situations, and then, like, out of nowhere you're just like, bam, you know. And so that was tough. I thankfully, like, I always bring everything back to the privilege that I had. Like, I was able to attend community college. I was able to afford one class a semester for 2 years, and
wow,
it was definitely tough. Like, after that 2 year mark, like, seeing, like, all of my, like, the people in my graduating class, like, already moving on from their community college to their 4 year university, you know what I mean? Like, finishing up their associate's degree and moving to their 4 year degree, or like, basically they were all, like, juniors at the time, and I had, like, what totaled to be, like, one semester under my belt.
Okay.
So that was tough. But, you know, we, like, kept going, you know, and we received a call from our immigration attorney in, like, the spring of 2016, and he was like, hey, so that immigration process that you started, like,
it's working,
11, 12 years ago,
yeah,
you were, like, approved. Not approved, but they're like, you have your interview for it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
it wait, was 11, 12?
Yeah. And so fast forward to, yeah, so the interview basically is, like, a month long, like, months long wait, you know, and because we got the news in, like, the spring semester of 2016, and my appointment, like, the whole interview process was in June of 2017. So almost
a year.
Yeah, almost a year. And so we're super excited. Basically, I had to go through a process called a consular process, which is where I go back to my country of origin, and I basically do all this stuff at the consulate, and then I come back with, like, my
paperwork.
Immigration benefit. Yeah, exactly. So we did that. And I go over there, and it's the first time I've been back in 17 years. And I see family that I haven't seen in so long. It was an incredible, like experience. And so, yeah, basically the week consisted of Monday was, like, my fingerprint appointment, my biometrics and whatnot. Wednesday was my medical exam. And then Friday was the interview. Yeah, so it was super exciting, but, like, freaking terrifying at the same time. You know what I mean?
Because what entails with the interview? Is it?
Yeah. So okay. So, like, before I went off and I went back to Mexico, and it's all done at the consulate in Ciudad Juarez. which borders El Paso, Texas. And
oh, so tender. Like, because the summer and all that stuff, I didn't like realize how close El Paso was to like.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah, yeah. And so we go to a meeting with our immigration attorney in Atlanta, is where our immigration attorney was. And let's go, baby, baby.
ATL, my home.
So we go, and it's like, we're basically like, we're doing like a mock like interview, right? And we're like, oh my gosh, we have to be like super meticulous of like the things that we say, and yeah, it's
so it's like terrifying. It's like a job interview, but like 100 times more intense.
Yeah, so
like any like you can't. It's not like oh like you can crack some jokes. It's like no, like it's like we are serious. Yeah,
exactly.
We are here to like it's business. Like it's only business. Like type of thing.
Yeah, it's
how old were exactly you? How
I was 21. Wow. 21. Yeah. Exactly 21. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No. So freaking we go. I went over there and. he's like walking me through like the steps, you know, and basically he had prepared like a binder, right, of like every single day of this whole week. It was like first day, first appointment, this is what you show them, second day, second appointment. It was all like perfectly laid out to where like I could have just shown up with my binder and been like, what do you need, like bam, here you go, let's go. And like that was like, I'll never forget that was incredible. And so he walks me through the process of the interview, and it was terrifying. but like when it actually happened, so like we're at the interview, right? And so Monday, like I said, biometrics, Wednesday, medical exam, Friday interview. And I want to say I got there for the interview at like 8 a.m. and the actual interview wasn't until like 2 or 3 p.m. And it was just like waiting in different lobbies with like a group of like 50 people doing the same thing. It was like you're in one lobby, walk to the other, walk to the other, walk to the other, and it was like all day long process, right? Wow. And then you finally get to the interview, and what that looks like basically is just like when you go to the bank, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a glass window and like some person on the other side of the window and just talking to you. And so I was, oh my gosh, like you can just imagine like what that was like. And because that's like, keep in mind, my whole family is still in the United States. And like, and oh, so like, obviously, like there's the opportunity where like you get denied and you can't go back. Like you can't go come back into the United States. And I don't know why, but that was never in my mind. Right. I like never thought about that until like. And, like, I guess, like, my mom and, like, my family didn't want to, like, obviously say, hey, by the way, this could potentially happen. Yeah, exactly. Until, like, right whenever, like, I'm there and I'm like, oh, shoot, like.
This could be it.
I could, yeah. Like, I could probably never see my family again. And, like, that sounds super dramatic, but, like.
No, that's a lot. Yeah, like, that's, like, your identity. Like, those are your people. Like.
Right, right. And.
I mean, I think losing family is always, like, I mean, it's a pretty, like, or even, like, and in this case, I guess, it's, like, you wouldn't have lost them, but you would have been, like, separated.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
That's scary.
And, yeah. And terrifying. And so I get to the actual interview, and the guy's, like, hey, you have something for me? And I was, like, yeah. And so it was, like, that packet that my immigration attorney had prepared, and I, like, handed it over to him. He's speaking to me in English, obviously. So he's like, you have something for me? I hand it to him. He's like reviewing it. I'm like sitting there, like standing up. There's like a glass in between us. A little white haired guy. And, the only thing he says to me is, oh, so you graduated high school over there, right? I was like, yeah. And he's like, so you speak English? And okay, so he asked me all that in Spanish, right?
Okay.
And yeah, he asked me all that in Spanish. I was like, yeah. And he's like, and then he immediately like starts talking to me. He's like, oh, okay, so you speak English. I was like, yeah. He's like, cool. And he's like, here you go, here's your package back. And he's like, you'll be awaiting your package. And so basically they keep your passport. And they keep your passport so they can like stamp it or like put your like visa in it, right? And so he's like, cool, okay, you'll be receiving your package in like 2 weeks. And like, that's him saying like, you're approved. And so that was incredible. And I'll never forget that moment. But yeah, it was like a total of like, it was like a 5 minute interview. Like it was super quick. And yeah, but like I said, like, I can't even imagine like the things that could potentially happen in that moment for those like less fortunate, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And, especially, I mean, I feel like the whole saying of like being at the wrong place at the wrong time, or maybe being at the right place but the time's off or something like that. So like, you know, it could have just been like that was like the right time, the right place, the right person. Also the right person, yes, the right day. Because yes, I always feel like, especially like when good things happen or when bad things happen, sometimes like a person's day, like how things are happening, or sometimes how things are being like people are always going through stuff, you know what I mean? So sometimes like people don't want to open up. So like you also have like a really good person in regards to like who is like support, like helping you during that day. So I think it's always like, it's just like bang, bang, bang. Like,
yeah.
Type of thing.
And it's definitely like that. Like you get that feeling like whenever you're like at like ordering food, I don't know, like, and you're like, oh, I hope I get that person.
Yeah,
like, you know,
because
you sit there, you're like in line, and you're like, oh gosh, like that person looks super sweet, or like that person looks terrifying.
Yeah. But yeah. Like I told you, like about the whole like friendship argument that I had like about like a week or two ago, and I feel like that person could have been like going through something in their own life, but like I don't know, but that could have been why they were acting so like anal and like rude about like the like situation and stuff. So I always feel like, I mean, I keep that in the back of my head. I'm like, well, maybe they're cranky because something else happened, you know? Because we all have had like,
and that's such a way, that's such a great way to like look at scenarios.
I think I'm a very big optimist right now in my life.
I love it.
Maybe like I feel like I'll change. Maybe someone will like break my heart, and then I'll be like, nah, fuck everyone.
I hate everybody.
Yeah. Okay. So then after that, so you're 21. So then how has it been like now between like 21 and like almost 24?
Okay. So before I went on the interview, or like before I went to do the whole like consular process thing, I had applied. Because basically, like, at this point, it was, like, 2 years in. I had been taking one class a semester. So, I was like, okay, we got to, like, be real for a second and be like, what other options are there, right? You know, like am I going to keep doing this? Like, what's going to happen? And keep in mind, this is before we got the call from our attorney that I had this interview set. So, I was like, okay, what other opportunities are there? What can I do? And like the whole time I always wanted to do something that would assist like, you know, like the people that are going through the same thing I'm going through. Like I always wanted to do something to help like the community, you know,
help
like
someone else.
Yeah.
Help someone who looks like you.
Exactly. And like, not only, yeah, exactly. And like, not only people that look like me, but just like do something and like, you know, like make some sort of change and, or like, assisting some like anybody. And basically like I was like, I'm bilingual. I was like, I have to, like, I can't, like, this is like a super cool thing that I like want to put to use, you know, like I want to be able to do something. So I was like, what opportunities are there, like what careers, you know, like what is out there? So I applied with like a few immigration attorneys in the area, basically just being able to like do whatever I can. And so I didn't hear back from anybody, and so I'm walking out of the interview.
Okay.
Right. I'm literally like opening the door, taking steps out of the interview. I get a text. I look at it. It was one of the local immigration attorneys in the area, and he said, hey, are you still looking for like a job? He sent me a text and he was like, hey, you're still looking for a job. And at that moment I was like, oh my gosh. Like I literally still have that message saved, like in my messages. It was insane. And I get back, and so my uncle from Guadalajara came to do this whole thing with me. And like, that's incredible. And like, I was so privileged to like even have like someone there along, like, doing this with me right by my side. And I was like, you will not believe like the message I just got. I was like, it's like, look at this. And it was insane. So I want to say like, that was the moment where I was like, this is it. Like there's no way, like you can bet your ass I'm going to come back to the United States and I'm going to do something. You know what I mean? I was like, let's go. And so I'm like back in the United States. Everything worked out perfectly. I got my package in the mail 2 weeks later after, the interview, came back, landed in the Atlanta airport. Let's freaking go.
Hartsfield Jackson.
Yes.
That's my shit. I love that airport. Like, I have too much fun. Yeah. Too much fun. I think last time I was at that airport, I went to this bar and I feel like they thought I was so young. I bought an angry orchard uh-huh. and just like sat there and drank
before just my sipping, yeah. pinky up in
and
the air.
And she was like, are you gonna order food? And I was like, no, I'm just gonna like drink like yeah. I'm sitting here.
Sorry, we closed 3 hours ago, man.
Yeah. Okay, so at Hartsfield.
Yeah, at Hartsfield, let's go, baby. So I get back and basically I was like, I'm passionate, I'm determined, like what am I going to do, right? And I was like, how can I get involved and what can I do? So I decided that the best option would be to send an email to the mayor.
Of like Knoxville?
Of Knoxville. Yes, Knoxville.
Ooh.
Because we have a Knoxville mayor and a Knox County mayor. So yeah, I went to the Knoxville mayor.
Do they mean two different things?
I don't know if they do. I don't know. But they definitely have like...
Tennessee's such a fascinating state.
Yeah. to add to that, our Knox County mayor was actually in the WWE. So, yeah.
Like I said, Tennessee yeah. is such an interesting state.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I was like, let me just shoot her this quick email, you know? What it do? Baby. Okay. So, so I'm like, hey, like, what up? It's your boy. Okay. No, but yeah, I was like, hey, like, I am extremely passionate, like, just asking what I could do, right? How can I get, like, my foot in the door? How can I do something to impact someone or, like, just be able to, like, even just, like, share my, not necessarily, like, share my story, but just, like, you know, like, let others know that...
I've been there.
That they... Yeah, that there's others going through the same thing as them, right? And so I emailed the mayor, and I get emailed back by her business liaison. And she was like, I'd love to meet you. Like, let's chat. Let's talk. And I was like, heck yeah. So I met her. That was incredible. I literally, like, I'm forever, like, grateful for what she did. We, like, sat down and talked for, like, hours about, like, where she's from, like, what she did, what she does, why she does it, you know? And she basically added me into this, like, group on Facebook that basically caters towards, like, bilingual individuals or, like, immigrants and that are, like, looking for... I guess you would say, like, young professionals, right? That are, like, immigrants or, like, whatever it might be. And so I was there, and so when I came back, I actually started working for the immigration attorney that had asked me if I wanted to work for him. And so I'm working with him, and she still adds me into this group, you know. And it came to the point where I was, like, I saw a job opening for working for a local nonprofit, which also does, which is an immigration law office. And I was like, this is exactly like what I want to be doing. It caters to the most vulnerable in the community who not only are going through these challenges, but also can't afford a private attorney, right? I can't afford the fees, and which is a very, one of the greatest barriers that are facing individuals right now, right? So I was like, let's I'm gonna reach out, let's go. And so basically that's where I've been working ever since right now, and I'm forever grateful for this opportunity, and I love what I do. I work specifically for within the program of of like the immigration law office. I work for like a separate program where it's directly it's specifically focused on victims of crime and how they can obtain an immigration benefit.
So like and they've been committed of a crime or like
they've been a victim of a crime. So like okay. Yeah, so we deal with a lot of domestic violence and assault and things of that nature.
Okay.
And so not only is like the attorney that I work for and myself like assisting like the most vulnerable, but like the most vulnerable of that group. Does that make sense? You know
what I mean? Yes, yes, yes. So basically, like, they are like an immigrant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they've also like gone through like that, like
experience. Exactly, okay. Exactly.
And then, like the trauma from that experience.
Of course. Okay. Oh man, yeah. Okay. I can talk about that. So yeah.
Oh wow, but that is like a. That's a lot. It's like a you gotta prepare yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And like I.
It's like diving off a dive board. Like, you gotta, like...
Yeah, of course. And, like, I get asked all the time, like, how, like, does it, like, not, like, how does that go for you? Like, how do you deal with that? Like,
how do you, like
hearing these stories and all that stuff?
How
and,
do
like,
you cope? How do you, like, process yeah, all that stuff?
Exactly. And, like, honestly, like, the reward trumps, like, all of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, just, like, whenever we get, like... receipt notices or like something or like approval notices or whatever it might be of like their cases like being approved or whatever it might be, you know, like making progress, it's like the best feeling in the world, like indescribable, and it's an incredible
yeah
feeling. And
have you seen like the evolution of a person as well, like throughout the process? Like
yes so
I'm sure
we,
that's like rewarding.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And like so basically the process is like in like a lot of immigration journeys, it's the time is unbelievable, right? So it's like the processing times are enormous. So for one of the main benefits that we do is a 10-year wait.
Okay.
And like we let these individuals know that, right? We like give them like we let them know that it's like it's going to be 10 years, but like we're going to do whatever we possibly can in our power to like assist you and like help you through the process. Right. So after 5 years, they get placed into deferred action, which is the same word that is used in DACA, deferred action, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which basically means like here's something, right? Like here's something for you for right now. And so since the waits are so long, like it takes years to be able to see like the progress being made, right, within each case. But you can definitely see like how they come in at their like initial consultations to how they leave like the day that we actually apply for them. You know what I mean? And like they know that like, okay, we applied for them, but like I'm still going to wait 10 years. But like these individuals, like, you got to keep in mind, they'll, like, wait, like, however long it's going to take, like, even to get that opportunity to mm-hmm. be, like, applying, you know what I mean? So, it's so rewarding, and, like, I'm so incredibly, like, thankful for that opportunity to be able to do this.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, and that, I guess that's kind of how, like, answer your question to, like, how, like, what type of, like, advocacy work I do, and, there's a local nonprofit also in the area that caters to immigrants with education.
What's it called?
Social Centro Hispano of East Tennessee. Yeah. And so basically...
I like say like, it again to, you know...
Centro Hispano, baby. Look it up. Call them. No,
call
but yeah,
them for the people.
Call them. It's honestly it's such an incredible organization, and so basically it like empowers these individuals to be able to excel academically, socially, and yeah, it's like incredible. They have classes, like English classes, Spanish classes, whatever it might be. They assist with some legal work as well. And that's like divorce, whatever it might be, some immigration work. But yeah, they do it all. They have all the resources. And
wow. Just wow. It's like,
insane, yeah.
Also, too, like, if you don't mind me asking, like, you know how, like, there's this whole, I wouldn't say, like, conversation, but I feel like people don't understand, like, some people who obviously might not have, like, immigrant parents or, like, friends who have, like, gone through the process, but, like, it's not also, like, a cheap one either, right?
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's, like, a very, like, pricey, very, like,
Exactly.
Like, not even, like, also exhausting. Like, I'm sure it was, like, it's very, like, just a tiring, like, over and over and over again type of process, right?
Yes. Yeah. And so not only are there fees for the applications that are being sent out, right? And basically, when I say applications, like, what an immigration attorney essentially does is there's applications, right? Like whenever you go and you seek an immigration attorney, like, you're either, like, seeking them out to assist you, like, in immigration court or, like, affirmative
action.
Yeah. So what that means, like, when they file, like, affirmatively, that's, like, them, like, going and, like, seeking out an immigration attorney to, like, apply for them, or, like, they have, like, a way, like, a pathway to an immigration benefit. And when I say immigration benefit, that means, like, a documented individual. So yeah, and basically what the immigration attorney does is they apply for you through these applications, and usually, like, I want to say there's maybe, like, 3 to 5, and that number can vary depending on what the case is, of applications that they file for an like individually for one person. And
so, like, if it's, so 3 to 5 for one person, so if it's, like, a family of 6, like,
that's, oh, like, yeah, it's like individually, like, most of the time, like, again, like, depending on the case, but, like, most of the time it's, like,
one person.
Yeah, exactly. And so not only do they have to pay for those applications to USCIS, which is, like, immigration services, right? United States Citizenship and Immigration Services. But yeah, anyways. So
Formalities.
Formalities.
For the people.
So not only do those cost, and I mean, yeah, there's fee waivers available, but, like, that whole process of fee waivers, it's, like, a whole separate thing that, like, is so challenging at this point. And, like, having to prove that you are eligible. Okay, anyways. But, yeah. So not only do they have to pay for, like, the applications, but also for the attorney. Right. And
attorneys aren't cheap.
Oh, my gosh.
They're not cheap.
It's, oh, you should hear the stories that we hear of, like, it's unbelievable. They'll be like, oh, we just got charged, like, thousands of dollars for, like, one applicant. Oh, my gosh. It's crazy. Wow. And, yeah, so. But, and that's exactly why I, like, enjoy and, like, feel good, like, working where I do, where it's, like, it's a low bono, right? So, like, everything is, like, the cheapest prices you will, like, find, like, in the area, right? So, it's it's super rewarding being able to, like, know that we're, like, reaching out to this, like, community, right? And, but yeah, it's ridiculous, like, the prices that are being charged to these individuals, and, like, how these attorneys are also, like, I mean, yeah, like they're doing work, and, like, they're out here, like, working, you know what I mean? But, like, it's
not easy work.
Yeah, it's not easy, but it's...
But it's rewarding.
Like, yeah.
Because you can see, like, what impact you've, like, made on a person, and how, like, you're able to, like, give them the opportunity of, like a future.
Exactly. You know what
I
mean?
Especially, like, within the United States, like, I think from, like, an American point of view, like, I knew none of this. Like, I knew none of, like, everything that you've talked about. I was like, what? Like, and especially too, like, my parents, they applied for, like, my mom, she applied for citizenship, like, before I was even, like, I think born, or, like, maybe, like, the first maybe 4 years of my life. Maybe like that's when she was going through it. But she like, I've like heard stories, but I've never like dived into like her own process.
Right.
So like, I feel like that is just like, like it literally took you, it's about to take you almost like 20 years before you like are a citizen. And that's just like,
oh, man, yeah.
That's like, like mind boggling. Cause like, I think for like me, it's like, yeah. I was born, you know, like, and I think it's like, I don't feel like a lot of people who are born in the United States understand like the privilege that we get, because I think when you were graduating from high school, like I'd like, for me, like I didn't have to worry in regards to like financial aid or like, I mean, I still was worried about money. No,
of course. Yeah, yeah.
But like I wasn't afraid or worried about like not, I guess, like getting into an institution, because like, and also too, like, let's think about it. Like when you sign the box that like, are you a citizen? Yes or no? Like once you said yes, like you have nothing to like worry about. Uh-huh. Whereas like if you do no, like there's like so many other like things you have to like fill out. And like, especially like in my race and ethnicity class this semester, freaking love him like so much.
Oh,
like that professor.
Yes, let's go.
He talked about how like in the 2020 census, they want to ask on the census, like, are you like documented? And like, we like had a whole big discussion about like that whole like issue with that, because of the fact that if you sign, you don't have to fill out the census, mind you, like the census is just like there, if that makes sense or whatever, for the people who like are like, what? But you never really have to fill it out. But we were talking about it, and like that's going to be problematic in regards to like doing, because of the fact if you fill out all your information and then you say like, are you documented, yes or no, and you say no, they know where you live. Like they can like, you know, ICE can pull up real quick, and like it's like game over. And that's mind-boggling. Like,
yeah, see,
like,
that's,
but as an American, you never have to think about it. Like, and also too, like I've like seen friends who've like become citizens and all that stuff, and I would love to hear like when you do take the test, like what it's entails, because Americans apparently wouldn't even be able to pass it.
yeah, definitely. That's something that is very, it's
crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the whole census thing, like that was, oh my gosh, like just like saying that was even like a thing that was being brought up, you know, is just insane. Like everything, they're out here doing the most.
Yeah, I mean, 45 and, really does.
Yeah, exactly. And like, yeah, it's insane. But it's like, it was blocked.
So it's not gonna be on there. But like the fact that it was already like, it was brought into like conversation. It's just crazy because of the fact that like this whole country, especially too, is like filled with immigrants. Like my parents were immigrants, your parents were immigrants. Like most people probably haven't like a grandparent or a parent or someone who like was an immigrant. So like it's like really mind boggling, because like we like just like took away immigrants, no one would be here.
like it's literally just like the idea of like borders and like illegal status is like, no one's illegal on stolen land, baby.
I mean, if we're really getting down to it, we really took the indigenous people's land. So, like, they should really be, like, trying to get us out.
Because,
like, this is even our, like, place, if that makes sense. But that's, like, a whole another, like, podcast episode.
Tune in next week for that podcast.
That's just crazy. So then how was it, like, growing up in Knoxville? Like,
yeah. So for me, like, and that's where I always, like, talk about, like, all the opportunities that, like, I was, like,
yeah,
so
like,
privileged to have.
People
like,
mean, like, were people, like, I'm really gonna, like, put it out here. Like, I am really not a big fan of Tennessee.
Yeah.
Compared to Georgia, I just feel like, and, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, I live in, like, a pretty, like, suburb area, but, like, let's say Atlanta compared to, because I went to Atlanta like a decent amount of times when I was like living there consistently. But comparing Atlanta to, I guess, like Knoxville or just like Tennessee is just like, let's not compare it to Knoxville. Let's compare it to like, just like the state. But it's just like really interesting. I feel like how people are very like bold. Like I feel like in Georgia, like, people are bold, but they're not as bold about saying certain things, like, to your face, or, like, making, like, saying, like, problematic comments compared to, I feel here. And, like, I've, like, seen that, and, like, it's really shown me how much, like, I've never been so ready to, like, graduate and, like, leave a state, like, real quick.
Peace. Yeah.
But, like, how was that for you?
So, for me, it was growing up, I was really involved in, like, extracurricular activity.
That's about to be a tongue twister.
All right. So these, I was involved in all of, like, the extracurriculars in school. Like, I grew up playing sports. I really, like, acclimated well, you know, and
people aren't
that's
mean.
Something I'll be. No, they weren't. And like, you know, like, I, like, emphasis on the privilege, you know what I mean? Like, I don't look like. Like, I could pass as, like, Hawaii. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, or, like, something. And, like...
People probably don't assume off the bat that, like, you're Mexican.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And like, exactly. And, like, so, yeah, like, growing up, it was... I grew up as well, like, in a very, like, suburban area. And so it was never really a big challenge that I was faced with, but, like, the older you get, the more aware you become of, like, exactly how, like, this world is, right? So, like, so, like, I mean, it doesn't take someone to come up to you and be, like, go back to where you came from, you know? It, like, with just, like, a glance or, like, a look that someone might give you, like, that's enough for you to be, like, okay.
They know.
Cool. Yeah. All right. But yeah. So with that, like, definitely, like looks we would get, and especially because, like, at home, like, we were raised to always speak Spanish, you know what I mean? Like
mm-hmm.
Spanish everywhere we went. And like, again, like, you're never aware to it. And, like, I can't even, like, imagine how it was for, like, our parents, you know, like, our families that, like, like, for them having to, like, raise a child in this, like, when they're well aware of, like, how things are gonna be and, like, how things are. And but yeah, so, like, the older you get, like, you become aware of these situations, and you're like, dang, okay, like, watch me baby.
Mm-hmm.
Watch me come for that throne.
Watch me become an attorney. It's like, I'm ready to prove you all wrong. Y'all thought I wasn't gonna make it.
You thought.
10-year high school reunion. What's
Let's
up?
Let's go, baby.
You need me? Yeah, you're getting divorced. Won't be your attorney.
Oh man, but no, like, I, like, the people I've met, the, like, yeah, like, you hear stories all the time and of these incidents happening, like, right in your own neighborhood, you know what I mean? And, like, especially, like, where I work, like, hearing the stories of these individuals, like, here in our communities, like, happening, like, that hits home, you know what I mean? Like, that's, like, dang, like, it's right here in my own, like, backyard that these things are happening. But you really also have to look at the works of, like, these organizations like Centro Hispano and like the individuals who are like advocating alongside those most vulnerable and like those who are out there like wanting to help, like looking at that and seeing that, like, it's really like a breath of fresh air, you know, like seeing that there's like individuals out there who are fighting with you, you know? And so that's awesome.
Wow, that was so beautiful.
Okay, don't make me cry. Stop.
No.
I'm crying.
It was so beautiful. But I guess also, like, the reason why I kind of wanted to have this discussion is because mm-hmm. obviously on Saturday, we're leaving to go to Austin, Texas and do service in immigration. So I'm, like, super excited. I mean, you were kind of, like, talking about this before, like, we got on the mic. But, like, I'm also nervous because I feel like it's going to be very, like, emotional, but I feel like the work that we're going to do and, like, giving back is going to be, like, incredible because, like, I mean, like, especially for me, like, I am, like, very, very privileged. Like, I also feel like, too, my parents obviously, like, came here to obviously give me the opportunity to like be an American and like be able to have these like privileges and these opportunities like to like have a better life and like, you know, all that stuff, like the American dream, whatever. but I also, it's also kind of like disheartening to me because I've been watching a lot of Hasan Minhaj.
Oh, yes.
And like his new show on Netflix, like The Patriarch. And like for my final project for my race and ethnicity class, we did like immigration and we talked about like that whole process. And I was watching the episode about like an immigration information or something. It's go look it up on Netflix. I'm sorry. Okay. But basically the episode was talking about immigration and like how it's like very based on like, it's like border. And then there's like another one, like asylum and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, like if your country is facing like a war or something,
you persecution,
can, like, you can like apply for asylum. And what's so heartbreaking about these stories or just like the situation that we're in right now and 2019 is the fact that like so many people are striving for like a better future or like want their kids to have a better future, to have an opportunity to like be educated, to have, even though like maybe the South doesn't have the finest education, like to still have like an American education and to like have this American dream that they all talked about and be able to like educate themselves and be in university and all this stuff. And I think I'm like really, I think, excited for this trip because of the fact that I do come from a place of privilege. I get to like, I guess, not necessarily like not only use that privilege, but also like educate myself about like what I can do to like be an ally and like be a support, because like it's like so heartbreaking. Like I think of like all the dreams and like the places I want to be, like I know by like age 26 or 27, if I still listen to this podcast, or I'm still making it, maybe I want to be debt free. And then I also really want to be working at a like movie entertainment studio doing like marketing, or like, you know, in like my dream world, I own my own business where it's like a media, black media, like marketing firm where like I allow like people within my community, but also people of color to like have the ability to like learn all these like media and like technical skills that they can like apply. And
oh, I love that.
Yeah, so like those are, I mean, those are big dreams. Big dreams. So
that will be reality.
we can only hope. We can only hope. But that is like my dream by the age of 26 and 27. But that's also like a privilege because some people in like other third world countries don't have the opportunity. They don't, like, and even in Africa, like women don't, some women aren't allowed to go to like get education, you know what I mean? Exactly. So I think I'm just like super excited. And it's going to be an incredible experience to just like see firsthand. And I think it's going to really like shape, I think, the work and the things that I do and absolutely, the conversations I have, because I think especially like if you're not a minority, so like if you are like a white person, like you have to like very much like get out there and like be a part of the work, but also have people who are around you who could like educate you and like give you that information in regards to like what you can do. Cause even though you might not be going through it, like you can still be like a supporter.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I'm a big like person on that. Like you don't have to be going through the situations that you're advocating for, you know, like you can advocate for whatever it is that you're passionate about, you know. And like I love like seeing that, and that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, yeah, you hear these stories and things happening, but you also like have people like you that are like passionate about just helping the community and like helping people that are going through it, you know.
Yeah, because I feel like also too, like, I feel like everyone has a purpose in life, like like I feel like some people, you know, like the baby boomers, I feel like some of them may not ever know their purpose because they kind of like followed like the path, the American dream path, like get a job. Like it's like what? Go to college, graduate, get a like 6-figure job, get married at like 24, 25, have children. And then like, you're like, oh, I didn't do a lot with my life. And then you're like,
all named Doug or like Jeff or something.
And then like, and then it's like you have a midlife crisis. And you're like, what do I do now? And then it's like, what? You're like 60, 70, 80. You're like, my whole life is gone. Like, so yeah. Where was I going with that?
I don't know, but.
That was like, but that's, I think, yeah. What I was trying to like correlate it with was.
We're just out here dragging anybody named Jeff.
Oh who's my like God. Older but than 50. With people like that, I think like they, I guess, never really go for what they want. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, I feel like they go through a path that people are telling them, like, what, my major supply chain, right? My major uh-huh. supply chain with, like, a concentration in marketing. Your girl's never probably going to use supply chain. Like, I'm probably, I really, when I tell you, I do not see myself in the warehouse, in uh-huh. logistics, in, like, transportation. I mean, if it's, you know, the universe's, like, plan for me to get a supply chain job, I'm going to really be like, what's up? Like, I'm so confused. Because most of my skills are in, like, the digital aspect and, like, the marketing field. Okay. So, but I do think purpose. That's where I was coming. But I do feel like everyone has a purpose. But I think you have to kind of be, like, self-aware and kind of, like, check in with yourself once in a while to, like, realize, like, what your purpose is on this, like, planet. Because you only have, like, one life. And I think, like, I mean, life will throw you like crazy ass curveballs, like of course. Super. But I think every curveball or every like obstacle or trial or tribulation that you go through is meant to be there to teach you and open you to like what you're like really here to do on this planet. Because like everyone has one. I think we just like kind of like fall into this system of like, oh, like we have to go to college and then like find a great job. Like we have to make six figures. You don't need to make money like like graduating. Like I feel like I'm graduating next December and like I feel so content because it's like now I can really pick the job that I want to start my career and not the job that's going to like pay me a lot of money because like I have to pay back like loans or something like that. Exactly. And like I am never like ever regretful of the choice that the fact that I chose UT because mm-hmm. I think UT has allowed me to learn that like, I mean, everyone, pretty much a decent amount of people have debt. So like it's nothing to be like necessarily ashamed of. Yeah. But I think it's like, then you should do like what you love so that like that debt doesn't seem like regretful. Like if I went into like a job,
like you did it for a reason. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because like I know, like I feel like I know what my thing is. Like I've always been a very creative person since like the sixth grade. Like when I picked up a camera and I was like, clink, clink, you know?
Click, click the disposable cameras. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like ever since then, like it's just like progressed into like different entities and right. I would love to like not, and like I think I have done that with people in my life. Like I feel like I've impacted people with things I've done. But to go back, I feel like for people who aren't privileged to be citizens, to be American, like they don't have that, you know, because they're always thinking of like what is like the next thing I have to do or like, you know, like, and especially
will
like,
I see my mother tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Will I see my kid? Yeah, like yeah. I mean, but that's like a reality for some people.
Yeah, of
and
course, yeah.
In this Netflix episode, he was like breaking down like immigration and like what it was all about, and he emphasized at the end like we're a country full of immigrants. You know what yeah. I mean? And I think like right now, what's just so crazy about this country is like we're such at a polar divide, and I think people aren't willing to like sit down with people who are going through the like immigration process and like truly understand like it's not easy. Like people saying like, oh, like why don't they just like become a citizen? It's mm-hmm. like 20 years. Like
why don't they just come here legally?
Yeah, it's like it's not as
okay, easy. Kathy.
Yeah, it's like not as easy as you thought. Like you think it is because you have your blinders on. Like you are a citizen. You don't have to worry about it. You know what I mean? It's like mm-hmm. a thing that you don't have to worry about. But like people who like, especially on this trip, I think what will be really interesting is to hear if like people have had like instances with like ICE and like all that stuff, because like you never, like when you're an immigrant and you're not a citizen here, like you're always probably on like,
oh,
on alert.
Always.
Because you're like one wrong thing, like one, like it can yeah. take one wrong thing and like yeah. everything's over. You know what I mean? So you always have to be very conscious about like what you're doing, what you're posting, like. And, like, that's not a pressure some people have to go through, mm-hmm. like, that is, like, I don't have to worry, like, not in this, I do have to worry, but, like, yeah. not, like, as, like, much as, like, someone who uh-huh. isn't a citizen.
Exactly. And Like, with that, so here in Knox County, the sheriff actually has a program where they work as ICE agents. So it's like a program called 287G, where the sheriff has to, like, consciously make the decision to renew this program, right? I want to say every June, maybe. I might be wrong. I don't know. But so yeah, basically, it's like a program where the sheriff and the sheriff's office can act as ICE agents, right?
Wow.
So not only like do these individuals have to be worried about like looking over their shoulder and not doing anything wrong, but like how are they going to reach out to law enforcement, right? If that's what they're there to do, like. Like, how are they going to be able to reach out without this fear of, yeah, like, oh, shoot, like, you might be an ICE agent, you know? And, yeah, so that's something, yeah, tough. And I think it's Knox County and one other county in the state of Tennessee that are doing this. And it's not like you get paid more, mm-hmm, or, like, it's not like you're getting funds from, like, it's literally completely voluntary.
That's also, oh, my
God. So, that, yeah, it's
like, yeah, it's like that the meme where it's like the angry man from Inside Out and he's just like, oh, like, yeah, it's literally like that, like that's how, yeah, I feel, because it's like you can't even go, like your neighbor, your local police officer can really just like,
yeah, exactly. And like, oh, it's so tough, especially because like at work, you know, like I said, like it's dealing with a lot of women and like dealing with individuals that are like going through domestic violence, right? And like the story you hear like 90% of the time is like, if only I could have reached out to law enforcement, you know? And like that just, oh man, and
oh wow, like, that like break, oh my heart.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it's and you know, it's just like stories like this that's like, I'm so passionate of what I do and like why I want to go into this field, you know what I mean? And like, all, so many are going through the same thing, and like so many are like just as passionate as I am, and like, yeah, so yeah, it's super cool.
Wow. Yeah. Thanks for telling, yeah, me your story.
Oh my god. Thanks. No, are you kidding? On. Thank you for
what, like what advice would you, I guess, like give to people who may like who might not obviously be like going on a trip like this, or like, you know, like what advice would you give? Or like,
well, I think that the key to any, I don't want to say successful, but the key to any advocate wanting to get involved is all absolutely educating themselves, you know, whether it be just reaching out or doing something to assist somebody, you know, like educating yourself and educating the educator, you know what I mean, is what I'm big thing about. And yeah, I just think that that's something that anybody can benefit from, you know,
mm-hmm,
whether you want to actively advocate alongside the communities that are the most vulnerable or just educate yourself, you know, that's
mm-hmm,
what it's, and it's so easy to just be like, oh, go and like educate yourself, but like, you know, like if you see something and you see something that you're passionate about and that you want to take part in and be involved in, you know, just like be loud, maybe speak up,
mm-hmm,
you know, yeah, take up space.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like, do you ever like challenge your friends, like, or the people that like you keep around you, like in regard to like their own thinking and all that stuff?
Yeah. So it's
a weird line.
Yeah. So I definitely like speak my mind and like speak what I believe in, but not in a way where I'm like shoving it down their throats. Like you have to like go and advocate for this community. You know what I mean? It's like, this is what I'm advocating for. Like if you want to, you know, get involved, and like if you want to, and you know, like that's also like a gray area, because like depending on what the situation is, like I mean, like obviously, like I'm not gonna like sit around and like watch my friends like Let's sit here and like, and whether they say like, oh, I don't support it, or like, oh, like I'm just not gonna be active on it. Like, I feel like that's where you're like if you stay silent, you're still the oppressor. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm big on that. Like,
so it, like you'll voice your opinion.
Yeah,
like,
of course. Yeah.
And like, not like, I guess challenge them or make them think. I guess.
Yeah,
like,
of course. And well, yeah, because like if you just sit around and don't do anything, you're essentially on the side of the oppressor. So, you know.
You should speak up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. What other advice? Is there any other advice you'd give?
Some more advice. Oh, there's a lot. There's a lot.
Top three.
Educating yourself. Don't be silent. And just have a heart. Be a good human. You know what I mean? Like,
you're telling me. Look.
Come on.
Shoot, I'd be the best human I can be. People still try me. Yeah.
No. Spread love.
Spread love. Be spread empathetic. Love.
And like, honestly, these things like sound so cliche, but like,
they go a long way.
It's so like, yeah.
Be educating. Vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vulnerability, transparency, you know, like it's, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But you
support always, the women in your lives.
But you always find like throughout this process as well, like you always find joy, right? Like through it. Like, I mean, also like being with your family and like your family in like, yes, Nashville, yeah, yeah. Atlanta, here. So like, it's like a diamond, you know, it's like a triangle.
We love the triangle. We love.
So, I'm sure like that's nice. And like you also like can talk to them about things and
of course.
And yeah, like they're also understand the process, so like it doesn't feel like you're going through
situation
alone.
And see, this is where like I get super emotional, like talking about my mommy, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, you know, she's my biggest, greatest support system. We've gone through it all together and you know, like seeing the things that she's also gone through and like just being by my side and doing everything together, you know, it's like empowering the women in your life is something that I will I swear I'm not crying, my voice is just
No, he's not crying.
I mean, I might have a tear or five, but you know, no. But really though, like it's like just empowering the women in your life and mm-hmm. And doing whatever you can to speak up and be an advocate for that. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That was beautiful.
Oh, stop.
It was great. Thank you for coming and like just like educating me. I was just so like, y'all, I was just really sitting here and just like, wow. Like I was taking it all in. Yeah. And I feel like the ship is gonna be like really
Oh, it's gonna be incredible.
It's gonna be incredible. We gotta take a lot of pictures, a lot of videos. We gotta like document the whole experience because it's gonna be I think it's gonna be life changing. So like I think it's gonna show people. I mean, I think there'll be times probably where like we'll probably get frustrated or like we'll have to like step aside and like just like process because I feel like especially like within the like spectrum and then also too within like intersectionality, I feel like within different identities, you're going to take it differently, right?
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I feel like for you also, like, I'm sure like you'll be like, I got this.
Oh my God. No, I see. Oh man. That's like something like that I like I'm going into this and like I'm going into this as if like I have no idea. Okay. You know what I mean? And
average
like,
Joe.
Yeah. And like, I feel like that's something big. Like no, like you can never be too educated for something.
You're not wrong.
You know, like, yeah. Like I'm going in this, like getting all the information and soaking it all in and being there and you know.
Yeah. I think it'll be fun. It's going to be fun.
I'm so freaking excited.
Yeah. I'm really excited. And thank you for coming and like
thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm really glad we got to like have this conversation before the trip. Yes. And then I do this thing on the podcast where we do like recommendations for the week. So I figured like you know, after a very deep and life changing combo, we can like the recommendation for this week we can both agree on is Will Smith.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Get out there, baby.
Yes. So like this all kind of like formulated over like a tweet that Sir over here.
She dragged me. I literally dragged her. That in mind. Yes. I got dragged
publicly. Tell the people what the tweet was.
Okay, so it was like a tweet and it was like the meme where like there's a kid just like punching a TV screen. And, like, just beating the crap out of the TV screen. And it was, like, quote this with a moment you want to do this with the TV. And, okay, it said, quote this with the time that a TV show made you want to do this. And I was like, oh, shoot, yes, immediately. Like, something sad, something mad. And I was like, oh, the freaking, when the dog in I Am Legend gets the disease and he has, oh, my God, I'm crying. But I was like, oh, yes, I'm definitely tweeting that. So, I tweet it. I'm like, that's a solid tweet right there. Like, who doesn't feel like that when they watch that part? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, let's go. 5 minutes later, I get a notification. It's like, I'm sorry if I'm yelling, but yeah.
No, you're okay.
It was like five seconds later, I'm like, seeing a notification. I was like, oh my gosh, yes, Hannah, let's go, baby. Like, yes, supporting me, yes. I know you feel the same way. No, that was not the case. Psych. She goes, excuse me, sir, but that's not a TV show. That's a movie. And I was like, oh, okay, coming for the neck. So, yeah, I cried.
And then I kept dragging him because he was like, I said what I said. And I was like,
it was like a back and forth, just drag. We're not going to disrespect our boy Will Smith like that. I was like, yes, okay.
Yeah, so I push out for this week. My recommendation is, I think it's both of ours, is Will Smith and his legendary acting career, because obviously this is a movie podcast, so we always have to, you know, drag a movie in.
Of course.
The even though I had to drag you on Twitter.
We're just dragging him. That's all we do.
Yeah, but I love Will Smith. We were talking about the movies that like we've seen. I just like watched Men in Black. Like 19, I think came in like 1998, but I watched it and he's just, I love him and I love his career. And yes. Like I love how he's like, he also is an advocate because Gabrielle Union got fired from like America's Got like Talent because like she stood up for like comment that was made and he like advocated for her and was like, yeah, like she should have spoke up. Like he's always been like a big advocate
as well.
And especially like in 2016 when the Oscars were happening, he like called them out in regards to diversity because like there wasn't like a lot of like diversity being represented within Hollywood, but like there were things that were being like created. I like read an article recently, so I'll put that in the description box as well. Awesome. But yeah, I like love him. We
love to see it.
He also recently got a studio at like the new Tyler Perry
studio. Yeah.
In Atlanta. Yeah, actually, like, I think when I go home, I'm going to go visit.
Oh, in Atlanta, huh?
Yeah, because it's only, I think.
I don't know why I said that.
You, like, love how much you love my city. Like, you always, I can always feel the hypeness from my city.
In the A, baby.
Yeah, but I want to go visit because, like, I want to see it for my own eyes. Because there's, like, especially with Tyler Perry, like, I watched like a whole video about him, but to go back to his studio, he talked about how the sign where it tells you where his studio is and like this like exit sign, it was where he was like living when he first came to Atlanta like 10 years ago. Yeah. God. Yeah. So there's like a correlation and like this like studio is going to like change the whole like movie and like industry in regards to just like. So many job opportunities, and then also so many people are going to now come to Atlanta to shoot because of the fact that like there's just like so many like venues and places and studios. So I love Will Smith, and he like deserved that sound studio because he has been an icon, an impact, and
yes.
If I ever met him, I think I would. I don't know. I think I would collapse. Like, I, like, feel like... If he was like, hello, I'd be like...
Peace.
Oh, we're just done with.
Yeah.
But I would recommend him. And, like, go watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air because I feel like... have you ever watched it? It's okay if you haven't. It's okay. I'm not going to drag you for it.
I'm going to say yes, but for like, the audience, I'm like, shaking my head no.
The song, it's like, I know the song.
Yeah, of course.
Born
a race. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Yeah.
I'm moving in my
But I've never seen it.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
Wait, that's where it's like, Rest in peace, Uncle Phil.
Something like
J. Cole song. Uncle Phil is in the show, right? Or no?
Breakthroughs.
We love it.
Yes, if you haven't watched Fresh Prince of Bel Air, you should definitely check it out. I'm pretty sure it's on Hulu. It's on these streaming platforms. I know because I just love him. He's a king, and he's just
his style career, in the show. Oh my goodness.
Yes, and then too, like, it's just cool to see how like his career has like just like elevated throughout the years. Like, I think one movie that like tanked for him was the movie on Netflix called Bright with the like aliens.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes,
I mean, I didn't watch it because it was not that but the album, the tracks, bops. Oh, I will play some. I'm not trying to get copyrighted, but like I'll play it after we get off the line. But yeah, it's great. I love it. So that's my rec for this week. I do like this thing as well called goals. So okay. Like, I give my audience listeners a goal to like apply to the week ahead. So what's a goal you want to give out to the listeners?
A goal? Go look up Sensorispinal.
Okay. I like that.
Okay.
No, I like that's that could be one.
That'll be goal number one, okay? Goal number two. Call a family member and tell them you love them.
I like that. Yeah. Is that a good one? Yeah. You should. No, I think that's a good one. Because I feel like especially too, because it's the holiday season.
Family member, friend, whatever it might be.
Yeah. I feel like it's important to like but you should tell people that you love them and you appreciate them in your lives. Because I feel like those little like notes or those messages can like really change them. And for some people, like, the holiday season can be hard if like they've lost like a loved one or they're going through a rough time or, you know, even like seasonal depression or anything like that. So like check in with the people that you love and like just let them know that you appreciate them, especially because like recently Juice WRLD, he passed away. Like a lot of people are just like, a lot of them are like passing away. Well, not a lot of them, but a lot of like just, you know, life is very short. So just make the most and tell the people that you love how much you love them. Don't wait till Christmas. Don't be like texting 20 people on Christmas. Like, I love you. Hey. Merry Christmas. I mean, you can do it.
Exactly.
I'm not saying don't, but like maybe like also like maybe Christmas Eve, you know, like,
make use of the days, baby. Come on now.
Let's try a new tradition.
Say what you mean what you say.
Yes. Yes. So yeah.
We're both crying too, bitch.
Yeah, when I come back next week to the podcast. So, guys, we cried a lot. It was a good experience. Learned a lot. Austin was cool. Have you been to Texas?
Never in my life.
Yeah, I've never been to Texas.
What if we see, like, Julian Castro?
Oh, no. What if we see Matthew McConaughey? Not McConaughey. No.
Yes, McConaughey. Yes. Oh, my God.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, my. Wait, are we going to go to the school?
I don't know, but okay. But I saw this. Okay, there was this Instagram post, we're about to wrap this up.
He's like the film teacher or something like that, right?
Yes. Okay, him and Joe Jonas were like in downtown Austin, Texas. That's what I'm saying. So look, if I come back on this podcast, and honestly, we should manifest this. We should put it out for your hair.
Yes.
We'll see Matthew McConaughey at a restaurant. If we put it out, we might see him.
We're seeing Matthew McConaughey.
In Austin, Texas.
The actor.
Yes. The king. The legend in Dark.
The myth.
Yes. If you've not seen the movie Dark Towers, The Dark Tower. Oh, king!
Do I have a movie for y'all? Time to Kill.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Have you freaking seen it?
Yes.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I freaking love it.
Oh, he's just
his demeanor is,
and then like he has that country accent, you know, he'd be like,
all right.
Yes, you did it.
Oh my gosh,
yes. So that is our manifest. That's honestly our goal for the trip.
Yeah, no. see Matthew McConaughey or we will not come back.
But I think that's it for this episode. Do you want to give them any of your social media?
Yes, @LR_MATA.
Okay.
And that's that on that.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah.
I'll put the links as well in the description. Yeah. And is there any other like resources or like websites you wanna provide to people? If they wanna like get involved over the Christmas break or like educate themselves.
Okay, yes. So Center Spinal, Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights Coalition, also known as TURC by their acronym. I'm trying to think of another one. With the YWCA, Empowering Women Victims of Domestic Violence.
I'm here for it. Look, I'm always here for it. And I challenge you guys to very much like become, like, even if it takes like, even if you can like educate yourself once a day on like a topic, becoming like an activist or even becoming an ally, it doesn't take a lot. You just have to start to educate yourself and just be there. We're at the end of the day, we're all human, and we all want to like matter and have a place in this world. So like we got to work together, you know, because what makes
takes a community,
what makes this country incredible is the people in it. You know, like we were great before 45. So that's all I have to say. Drops the mic like Obama.
Oh man, but drop that mic.
Yeah, I really hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Now that finals are over, I will be posting again consistently.
Yes.
As always, give it a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts.
That's five. Five stars.
I think I'm gonna start in the new year. Like if you leave a review, I'll read it at the end of an episode. So you should leave a review about what you liked about the podcast. And just get excited for the next couple episodes, because I am really excited. I'm gonna do like the last episode, I think, for this year will be like a year recap, where I just like acknowledge, like, you know, all the good and also like all the bad, but like what overall this year was. So a lot of exciting episodes. I'm hoping I can bring my brother on as well.
Oh, so you
gotta subscribe, you gotta stay tuned, and I will see you guys
in
the next one. Thanks, Louise.
Thank you. Peace.
Bye, guys.